we come to the second half of verse 7 there. The end of all things is at hand, and now he's saying, therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. What can we take from self-controlled and sober-mindedness?
We certainly know that self-control is something that is essential in the Christian life. The Apostle Paul includes self-control as one of the fruits of the Spirit, one of the evidences of the Christian life. And here Peter is wanting us to be aware that as we think about Christ's return, as we prepare for his return, that we be a people who are ordered, I guess, or controlled in the way in which we approach life, all areas of life. This isn't just referring to one area, but I think all areas of life. And more particularly, both the self-control and the sober-mindedness refer to what I believe he's referring to here, and that's worship.
So from self-control, we don't get the idea that it's all upon us and our own power either. The idea is there that it's in the power of Christ according to his will and with the power of the Holy Spirit enabling us to control our bodies, beat our bodies into submission, have the mind of Christ in that way.
Well, sure. And he's speaking to Gentile Christians here who at one time were living a very, very hedonistic lifestyle. And he is saying to these Gentile Christians, there's something different now that you're in Christ. You need to be living in a way that is self-controlled, a way that is careful, a way that is seeking to please the Lord now. There's a seriousness here, I think, about our life. It's not that Peter doesn't want us to rejoice. In fact, in chapter 1, he talks about rejoicing in the midst of suffering. He also talks about rejoicing here in verse 13, as we already indicated in a previous time. But what he wants us to understand, what he wants us to see, is that there's a seriousness about the Christian life. And sober-mindedness means that we're serious about the way in which we think of the things of the Lord.
Intentional.
Good. That's a good point.
We come to the last part of verse 7. And he's told us, the end of all things is at hand, therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. One version says, so that you can pray. How does self-control and sober-mindedness affect or not affect the way we pray?
Well, I think that it's not just the way you pray here that is being referred to. I mean, if you think about Acts chapter 2 and the formation of the church, the day of Pentecost, it speaks of, in the latter part of Acts chapter 2, of the early Christians giving themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And it describes for us the character of the early Christian worship. And Peter is here referring to such worship, that prayer is a part of our worship of God. And that as we think about the seriousness of life, and in this case, these Christians facing such severe persecution, that we recognize that our conduct has to be careful, it has to be intentional, it has to be well thought out in regard to the way in which we're approaching our worship and our prayers for one another. That we shouldn't be sloppy in our approach to worship or our approach to prayers for one another, but concerned for one another in the midst of difficult days.
So it's safe to say that if we're confused about what's happening around us and our minds are wandering and not on the things of Christ, not looking to Christ in the Scriptures for the answers, that the prayer life suffers because our lack of focus and sober-mindedness.
Sure. No, I think there's a sense of focus here that he wants us to have. If you think about your job, if you're not focused for a day, all sorts of things become out of order as a result of losing your focus and not staying on the task. And the same is true with regard to our approaching the return of Christ and our worship of God. We need to be careful to be focused and to be serious about the way in which we're approaching prayer and as well as the whole Christian life.